Everyone, I'd like to call to order the, I'd like to call to order the July 15th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Buick Parade Commission. The director, please take role to establish a quorum.
Yes, Rick Linefield.
I'm present.
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 All members are present.
Great, thank you. We have a very long agenda today, and we're limited to 2 hours for this meeting. And so we may not be able to hear all of the items, but in order to hear as many as possible, we'd like to keep as focused on the issues that are presented by the staff so we can discuss those issues and nothing else. So let's try to keep our presentations to a minimum that's adequate to explain your application, but we're going to try to move through as many items as possible. So the first item on the agenda is 1039 Barracks or Burgundy Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1039 Burgundy is a green-rated main building and orange-rated attached building and garage. This is a proposal to install security hardware, including cameras and keypads. Her application materials received May 27, 2022 and June 18, 2025, respectively. Previously existing security cameras will be installed in locations that are compliant with the design guidelines. Staff notes that conduit should be avoided where possible and discreetly located when required. All housing and wiring must be painted to match the adjacent surface. Two Control 4 DS2 door station keypads will be installed, one at the Ursuline side courtyard wall adjacent to the gate, and the other to be installed in the face of the mailbox at the front entry alcove gate. Both are listed as being surface mounted and measuring 4.2 by 9.2 by 1.1. The keypad is only backlit when in use, but an integrated camera and intercom result in a larger keypad than the committee typically prefers. Both the black and bronze finishes have been highlighted on the submitted spec sheet. It should be clarified if different finishes are proposed in different locations. Two quick-set Halo Wi-Fi enabled smart locks are also proposed at the front entry door and one of the entrances off the courtyard. These fixtures are more discreetly located, but it is not clear from the submittal if they are to be mounted to the wall or millwork. Staff finds the proposed work conceptually approvable, but questions if a flush mount DS2 keypad can be used at the front entry alcove since it will be mounted into a mailbox. The masonry fence on the Ursuline side is also not historic, so flush mounting may be a better option in this location as well. Staff requests more detailed information regarding the installation locations of the Halo keypad with final details at staff level.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
John Williams, Architects.
Your name is?
Jennifer Morales.
And you are related to the project head?
I'm the office manager for the company.
Her first go.
Okay, John, what's your name?
John Williams.
John Williams.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
Happy to work out with the staff all the details.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant or the staff about this proposal?
The staff report has a couple questions about the finish and the mounting of the keypads.
Work that out with the staff.
Okay, staff's confident in that? Okay.
I'm going to do this as quickly as I can with you guys.
Great, thank you. Is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Anybody else? Any other committee questions? Do you have a motion in the matter of 1039 Burgundy Street?
Yes, the matter of 1039 Burgundy. I move to conceptually approve the proposal with all final details to be worked out at the staff level.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Next item is 525 St. Ann Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 525 St. Ann is a purple-rated building. This is a review for recommendation only. It calls up to modify the previously approved plans, including proposed addition and courtyard space. The application chair received April 29, 2024 and July 1st, 2025. This application was deferred at the May 20th, 2025 meeting with the recommendation that the applicant explore possible interior solutions and find a remedy that is more sensitive to the soil fabric. Following the architect committee meeting, staff met with the applicant to discuss the proposal, including possible alternatives and ideas to make the current proposal more approvable. The applicant has provided alternative plans that kept everything within the existing building footprint, but expressed concerns that these layouts would create bad bottleneck points between staff moving through the rear doors and guests waiting for the restroom. As such, the applicant is proposing a small bump-out addition as previously proposed. In meeting with staff recommended that some other work could be proposed to sort of clean up the area around the proposed addition, primarily removing the steel I-beams and posts that is in place. The applicant was open to the idea, but has since provided information from their engineers that the steel is being used to shore up the gallery above and will need to remain. Staff would still encourage ways to improve and minimize these atypical structural supports. With the addition itself, staff questioned that the existing wall openings that currently features the louvers could be utilized at the door opening to the addition. Currently, the plan showed the demolition of this opening and a significant portion of the masonry wall on the other side of it. And this masonry wall is likely an original portion of the perforated building, so that would be much more comfortable with a proposal that minimized any changes to the existing masonry. Ultimately, this proposal is for reclamation only. The proposed work would clean up some existing elements, including exposed plumbing and conduit in this area. The location is at the rear of the building and not visible except from within the space. Still, this is a highly rated building, and care should be taken to minimize the impact on the historic fabric and the overall space. Staff seeks counter from the community regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Yes. Blake Bajron, Principal, Mover Design Group, 1000 South Norman Francis.
Will you speak today?
Brianna Bolivin, Architectural Designer, Mover Design Group.
Great. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
No, we do not.
Okay. You have offered a couple of alternatives. Do you want to just kind of run us through those so we actually understand?
Sure. At the last meeting, it was discussed whether or not we had explored alternatives with staff, to which we had stated we did not. So we followed up with these floor plan sketches, reviewed with Nick and Brian, the proposed alternate design solutions, also walked them through the issues from an operational perspective that it created with for our client, and as a result of that, ultimately decided that we'd like to proceed with the last proposed floor plan with the projection out into the courtyard, with that proposed bump out, you know, being complementary in nature to the existing construction.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant? Comments on this alternate design? I just want to be clear. So on slide, mental slide number is this?
33.
33. That's the alternative that you explored?
Correct.
And the difficulty that you found with this?
So the vestibule area that exists outside the two doors for the restroom creates a pinch point. The space in the back is the proposed kitchen, and so staff will be carrying trays with food through the existing double doors, which are all already, I guess, problematic from an operational perspective, and so there's concern about bumping into patrons of the facility while they're waiting for the restroom and trying to serve, creating a pinch point in that location, whereas the preferred solution creates a vestibule independent of the circulation pathway that allows patrons to wait outside the path of travel and allow that flow to and from the dining area and the kitchen without obstruction.
That's what we're seeing in this illustration. Okay, committee, questions for the applicant? Well,
I don't feel okay about doing this with the National Register building. The monument.
Well, I think that what the applicant is presenting is a hardship, which is generally not the purview of this committee. Would the staff agree with that as a general observation?
Generally, this is a group that deals with the architecture, not hardship.
Yeah, okay.
If I may, just real quickly, our position, or my position rather, perhaps, was that right now there is already an anomalous bump out on the second floor, and this proposal brings that to the ground in a way that sort of cleans up an area that's not particularly precious now and is such that it could be removed without damage to the historic building in the future. But I don't disagree with your situation or your position. I just wanted to kind of give you that information.
Except we're taking out the rear wall where the
Our recommendation is to retain the opening where that louver is, not take out the wall, just change that louver to the opening into the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not. That's not what they're proposing.
That's not what they're proposing.
We're proposing in Nick's report to retain that opening, if possible.
Is that something you could explore?
We could certainly explore that. I think the challenge there will be creating that an accessible route to that restroom using that existing opening. I will also offer that, much like we agreed to with the door through from the kitchen into the 529 space, I think our client is amenable to infilling the masonry should they vacate the space, replacing the wall in kind.
That's tenuous. That's a promise for the future that nobody can enforce.
And it's not original.
Fair enough.
And I think that the middle ground here may be recognizing that this is a disturbed area, but doing no harm to the historic fabric of the building, which is the removal of that wall. And so a solution that doesn't involve the removal of the wall, the masonry wall, is one that we could entertain. Because, as Cynthia pointed out, this is a National Register of Property. It's a purple rated building. And our job is to work to retain as much historic fabric as possible while allowing the work to go forward. And I just have to, when I'm looking at this, I'm just wondering, the size of that vestibule is quite large. And I'm just wondering if that's entirely necessary for strict ADA compliance. But as we contemplate that, is there any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. So, committee, any more questions for the applicant?
Yeah, I guess just to clarify, on slide 35 in this proposal, we're thinking that where would we think people are going to queue for the bathroom?
In that foyer 205 space.
I mean, you got a 5-foot turn circle drawn there. I think that's about as much space as you need for somebody to walk out the door and stand at the sink. I don't know if queuing is really believable in that space. I think people are still going to queue in the curved area between storage and the wall. And then there's really no difference between this proposal and the one you contemplated that doesn't add square footage.
I think the thought process there is that people are standing outside the walkway, at least in the foyer. They're outside that travel lane and can prevent potential interactions with the staff as they're carrying food or plates to and from the kitchen area.
Are two ADA restrooms required?
My understanding is that when you're providing unisex restrooms, they both need to be ADA so that if one were occupied, the other one would be accessible.
But you have two in the other side of the restaurant, right? So technically this will be four ADA compliant restrooms.
Correct, but there is no true accessible route from this space into the other space because of the existing step into the spaces.
And the space that's marked circulation, not in contract, with the hatch on it, that's not a route that, there's no opening to get.
That is the corridor to the apartments above.
Yep. Okay.
That's the step, Where's your trash go?
There is a dedicated trash room in the existing 529 space. That storage room 100 is mislabeled here, but that's where they store the trash currently.
Okay, we need to think about this. Biddy, additional questions, or is it time to make it?
No, I get the path forward is to come up with a different solution that stays, that draws within, colors within the lines, or I guess to consider this like a hardship for the full commission to look at?
In any event, this would be a commission recommendation.
Yes, you would be recommending up or down to the commission.
Right, so the commission will hear this one way or the other.
It has to go there anyway because it's purple, so.
I don't think we can recommend the solution that adds square footage in the courtyard.
And takes out part of the original wall.
Because it takes out part of the original wall.
Right.
So before we go to a motion, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nope, we do not.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 525 St. Ann Street?
In the matter of 525 St. Ann Street, gosh, is it deferral appropriate or just...
I think it's a negative recommendation.
Yeah.
Maybe with the reasoning.
Yeah, I think the reasoning has to be included in the motion.
Okay. In the matter of 525 St. Ann Street, I move to send a negative recommendation for the proposal to the full commission for their consideration, given the reasoning that the current proposal that we're reviewing is one that adds additional square footage, interior square footage by taking from the courtyard, and removes a significant portion of existing masonry wall.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You'll be on the next agenda for whatever you'd like to argue before the full commission.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Okay. The next item is 227 Charter Street / 614 Bienville / 200 Royal. Do you have an applicant present? We do. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 227 Charters is a yellow-rated building. 614 Bienville is a green-rated building. 200 Royal Street is a green-rated and orange-rated building. This is a proposal to relocate the Hotel Mullion Cooling Tower from 624 Bienville 200 Royal to the roof of the building at 227 Charters. Per application and materials received March 20th, 2025 and July 1st, 2025. On April 8th, the committee reviewed a proposal to relocate the Hotel Mullion Cooling Tower. The existing cooling towers at 624 Bienville and 200 Royal are deteriorating, and the existing location cannot hold the required size to serve the hotel full time. The applicant proposes installing a new, larger cooling tower on the roof of the two-story 227 Charters with lines to run across Exchange Place to the hotel. The proposal is diagrammatic and did not address all properties involved. So the committee deferred the proposal, or the application, to allow the applicant to begin the Board of Building Standards and Appeals process for work crossing multiple property lines and the right-of-way. On June 27th, BBSA approved allowing utilities to cross property lines with the stipulation that the applicant obtain a utility cross easement / legal servitude signed and recorded to run with the properties. The applicant has resubmitted their proposal to the BCC for review of the cooling tower at 227 Charters, along with applications for work at 614 Bienville and 200 Royal. While there is no engineer's report for condition of 227 Charters, drawings provided show that the equipment will have its own independent foundation and support system within the building. The overall size of the equipment is not provided, but a rough scale of the drawings by staff indicates that the cooling towers and platform are approximately 30 foot by 50 feet, with the top of the equipment approximately 20 feet above the surface of the roof. It appears that about 35% of the roof's overall area will be occupied with this equipment. Sightline studies indicate that the tower will not be visible from Charters, but has some significant visibility from a portion of Bienville near Exchange Place. The two 12-inch chilled water pipes will penetrate the roof and run inside 227 Charters, then through the interiors of three buildings owned by the hotel that are part of the combined 610-14 Bienville parcel. The lines will exit the green-rated building formerly addressed to 220 Exchange Place below the second floor bridge across Exchange Place to 200 Royal. Staff is pleased to see that the penetration and lines do not have a significant visual impact. However, the equipment itself is still very prominent and highly visible from certain points on the public right-of-way, given its unavoidable large size. Staff wonders if it's possible to split the load between multiple smaller chillers, but ultimately seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the approvability of this proposal. If found conceptually approvable, commission review will also be required for the design guidelines for rooftop mechanical equipment.
Did you review the bridge across the alleyway as part of?
That was a different scope of work. That was it was last renovated and then closed out in 2023.
Okay, great. Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Green Street.
Richard Choate, same address.
Okay, do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
No.
Well, I think the staff report raised a couple of questions about the ability to maybe not have your cooling tower all in one place, or an alternate design for a mechanical system that might be less visually prominent. Is that something you're prepared to address?
You know, I'm not exactly sure where we would put it where it wouldn't be at least as visible as this new location. They have the parking garage there where it sits now, and you would have to put it adjacent to that, which brings it closer to Bienville Street. So I'm not sure. First of all, you know, the size of the cooling towers is, you know, determines how much chilled water it can, or not chilled water, but cooled water that it can generate from the slats that are located inside and the water going over them. So it's going to be that size wherever we put it. And even if we break it up and we put one on top of the garage, you know, you just make the piping a lot more complicated, and I'm not sure if that really gives you anything at the end of the day.
It's still going to be prominent, even we think more prominent than where we'd like to place it.
And
on the vehicle side.
Talk about the structural capacity of the garage to support this load. Did you explore the remediation of the garage to support the load of the cooler in its current location?
The garage has been patched and remediated a dozen times probably since it was built in the 40s or 50s. And it's really not sitting on the garage. It's sitting on the building, you know, with the bay windows going out, which they call the commercial building.
Mm-hmm. Hey, committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff? Now, I'll note that I was not here for the initial review, so I don't have the depth that you all might have. Somebody's got to talk.
Sorry.
So there's no way to do, this is just a generalization, if you have a 20-ton unit, three 10-ton units instead of, I mean, again, I'm an architect, not a mechanical engineer. There's no way to break it up into smaller units.
Well, I mean, you can do that with chillers much mm-hmm. easier than you can with cooling towers.
Right.
And you know what, I'm just an architect too, so I would be generalizing to some degree, but, you know, I guess it's also important to note that you have no views of it from the alley as well. I think we've determined from those sidelines that not only Charters, but the alley also, it's really just right there on Bienville where you have the gabled roof. And I think if that were building were squared off like the rest of the buildings in the neighborhood,
but it's not.
I doubt you would see it from anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Exchange Place is kind of a lost cause. Anyhow,
particularly that part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the acoustics of something like this on a fairly low building?
It's loud. I mean, we could get some more information, and they do have some muffler kits and things that you can put on them. I know Jack's Brewery, we did something similar, where they pointed it away from the building towards the, you know, the park.
I think we should at least have information about, you know, the decibel levels, because I worry that this is, although that area is somewhat compromised, you know, it's not an industrial area.
Right.
Something like this is going to be, has quite an impact.
I really feel like we need more information from a mechanical engineer.
Yeah, we could get that information. That's fine. That's not a big deal to get it.
Sure.
And then, you know, look at the options for, you know, funneling that noise upward, away from the buildings around. I know that we've done that in the past, so it's possible.
Just a quick question to you about, because you mentioned the building on the corner with the gable roof. That's an orange-rated building, isn't it?
Okay, it's like the least lowest rating.
I believe it's an orange-rated building, so I'm wondering if at some point, if... No, yeah, that's a three-story. I would look into that because, you know, if there's a possibility that, you know, if that building's not sacred and it could, you know, and it's part of the hotel complex. I believe that there was previously a taller building there. So, you know, it could be something with future development that maybe that view shed is not quite as open, but
sure.
That's definitely not the condition now.
Right.
Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. Is there, would you like to add anything to our discussion before we go to a motion?
I'm sorry.
Any additional comment before we go to a motion?
I don't think so.
Okay. You're good? Is there a motion in the matter of all these different properties we're talking about? There's a lot of them.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll call it 227 Charter Street.
Sure. In the matter of 227 Charters, I move to defer to allow the applicant an opportunity to work with the mechanical engineer on alternatives that might disperse the equipment over multiple smaller pieces to help address staff's concern about view shed.
And provide information about perhaps
acoustics.
Yes, and to provide info on acoustics.
Maybe bring the mechanical engineer next time, too, who could answer questions?
I guess, yeah, the other question, we're in the middle of a motion, so...
Sorry.
Yeah. But you're going to add acoustic impact.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, is there a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Yeah, I think that probably just a little bit more information about even alternate schemes that might not involve large chill cooling tower might be appropriate here. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, did this application also cover
all three of them?
All three of them. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So then we'll move on to new business and ask for 1016 St. Louis Street. Do we have an applicant present? I don't see an applicant for 1016 St. Louis Street. And we'll go pass over that one and move on to 1015 Burgundy Street. Do we have an applicant present for 1015 Burgundy Street? Okay.
Adam, is this for you?
1016.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go back. See, I don't know who these people are, so... So can we have the staff report for 1016 St. Louis Street, please?
St. Louis, this is a blue-rated complex building. This is a proposal to install single-leaf simulated French doors in four separate locations. Verification chairs received March 12th and July 4th, 2025, as such. The Verification Committee approved extensive renovations for this property at the March 25th, 2025 meeting. That approval was essentially a renewal of work that had previously been approved in 2019. One item from the previous approved plans that was called out as in need of separate review was the treatment of four separate door openings. The approved plans called for only shutters at those openings with no doors proposed at that time. The four openings are located with one on the first floor of the service aisle, one on the second floor of the service aisle, and one on each of the first and second floor of the rear stable building. Each of these doors serves a different apartment unit. In discussion with the staff regarding the need for egress compliant doors and these four openings, staff recommended simulated French doors to match the appearance of the adjacent French doors. The proposed doors vary in size depending on the openings, but are detailed to match the adjacent French doors, including the vertical beam. No hardware is shown on the proposal, and the hardware generally gives the illusion away from these types of doors, but staff appreciates that this condition is limited to only four openings, with the rest in the large complex remaining true French doors. Staff's only question regarding the overall proposal is regarding door number 68 in the rear stable building. units opening and approved millwork marked as 66 and 67, with opening 66 showing what appears to be a code-compliant door entering this apartment unit. It appears the proposed door 68 would be a second code-compliant door, and that the apartment may be code-compliant if door 68 remains through French doors. Staff seeks clarification from the applicant regarding these conditions. Whether required or not, staff does not find a single door in this location to be objectionable and appreciates the desire to have a full-width door in close proximity to the bedroom. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details, including hardware, to be worked out at the staff level.
I'd like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please.
Adam Worling, Mercier Realty, Post Office Box 56249, New Orleans, 70156. I represent the owner.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report to share with us?
Not particularly. I mean, the openings chosen have been done in anticipation of future interior renovation of apartments. Just don't see the point in trying to double dip by putting traditional French doors now and asking you when the time comes to go back with these altered ones, which are basically there for both ease of egress, but also for egress in an emergency, not to have to try and squeeze through a traditional French door. That's kind of our angle here at this point.
And just to confirm, there's no millwork present in these openings this time?
No.
So it's all new millwork. And the staff raised a question about opening number 68, which I'm having trouble identifying. There it is.
I believe it's on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first floor.
It's the first floor? Okay. And your question is about its size?
Well, whether it's a second opening in that unit, whether that's necessary to have non-standard millwork in that
unit. So kind of the idea or thought that's been running through our minds is kind of getting ahead of fire egress, that you're kind of at a distance from those doors, depending on where you are, you know, trying to squeeze down a hallway to get to the one circled in red versus the one up top, which I believe is 66.
Is this a sprinklered building?
At present, it is not, no.
Will it be?
Honestly, I don't know. We're still trying to figure out what our future use on the property is, because initially when we presented this, it was residential, but that doesn't make the dollars work anymore.
Just off the top of your head, what's the maximum egress length for egress within a unit?
Within the unit?
Yeah.
This
is a trick question.
Yeah, okay.
You're not even close.
Okay. I mean, I'm not
just worried, without even a scale. You're not
I'm
even
not
close.
Even thinking about distance from the fire marshal's perspective. Just, I did say fire marshal. You're right. We're thinking about having that ability to get out of two separate doors of size in those apartments because of the L shape of it.
So you're looking at it as a safety issue.
I'm looking at it as a safety issue. That's where the thought is coming from. I mean, when we're downstairs, we're talking about those arches having the larger doors upstairs. It makes sense to us as well to also have that ability to get out.
Okay.
But not on the second floor. Because on the second floor, you show a standard double French door in the same
location.
You know.
Please put that up, because
let's see. That would be
apartment 6.
And I would, okay.
Door 75.
To that end, I say I would have to go back and talk to the architect, because that's a mistake. We were kind of thinking the same thing on both floors for that same reason.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Staff would be very happy to work this out at staff level if you see some sort of movement on this property.
Got it.
Sure.
Okay.
Is there any public comment about the proposal for 1016 St. Louis Street? I see no public comment. Committee, any last questions for the applicant or for the staff?
Just two questions. Well, one question and one comment, I guess. Yeah. It looks like from some of the photos that there are frames existing in some of these openings, like the original jams are there.
You see some header and some sills. As far as anything that is there, what is still there is not solid.
Okay.
We're happy to let the staff come and take a look and comment.
I feel safe saying that there is
nothing there.
Thank you, Renee.
I've been in the shop for 10 years, and it just looks like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm just looking at, like, slide 76. There's an opening on the first floor down at the bottom there, and you can see the frame with like beaded trim on it and the shutters, which are older than all the other shutters on the building. But you can see like a little bit of white around the perimeter of all the shutters.
That picture's from 2014, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Point taken.
So it's probably gone.
And then I guess other just kind of big question is, if this is really a barn structure in the back, is this typically how we... I presume we need to enclose it, but I guess the way that enclosure looks is going to be consequential because it wouldn't have historically been enclosed.
We reviewed that in 2014 and on, so that's really not what we're talking about today.
Got it. Okay.
We went over it quite a bit.
Talked about a lot.
Okay.
A lot.
So we're just talking about the doors.
I trust y'all have.
Okay. We don't have any public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
No, I just, like Renee said, I want to see movement on this too, trying to get things going back in the right direction on this building.
That's fair. Committee, you have a motion in the matter of 1016 St. Louis Street.
Yes, in the matter of 1016 St. Louis, I move to adopt staff's recommendation to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Good luck. Talk to John, Renee, and we'll get in touch with you about that.
Okay, the next item is 1015 Burgundy, right across the street. We have a staff. Oh, do we have an applicant present? We do. Do we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 1015 Burgundy is a green-rated main building with orange-rated rear additions. This is a proposal to install veritas decking and modify stringers in the front gallery. Our application materials were received June 30th, 2025, and July 2nd, 2025, respectively. Since synthetic decking started to be improved in the district on a limited basis, the committee has used the following guidelines, limiting their installation to brown, orange, and yellow-rated properties, locations above the first floor, areas where decking is not protected by any kind of overhang and generally open to the sky, and installations that require no or limited modifications to the supporting structure if exposed, i.e. the installation of additional stringers. The submittal shows the use of Eritus heritage decking on the front gallery, which is covered by a roof. Since Eritus decking is only able to span 16 inches on center, and the current span between stringers is 2'3", the applicant proposes to add 3 additional stringers, giving them an on-center spacing of 1'1.5". Given the building's green rating, gallery roof, and the modifications to the structure needed, staff does not find this application consistent with the committee's previous approvals and recommends denial. I'd also like to note that in going through the pictures and looking at kind of the history of this, it does seem like some of the issues with gallery rot and deterioration are probably exacerbated by the fact that we got all these planters involved. So, and I did notice that drain in that one spot. That's not something I've ever really seen done before. So I think that's probably a factor, and the rust that we're seeing on the gallery as well, I think it's being exacerbated by that water.
Got it. Okay, before we get going. Excuse me. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
I'm Larry Weaver, 1015 Burgundy.
Thank you. And would you like to speak today?
Colleen Fuller, 1015 Burgundy.
Thank you. Now you can say whatever you want.
The previous owners had applied 3/4 plywood on top of the deck, then put a coating on top of that. So we can't just repair the corner. So we were trying to demo the whole thing and go back with Eritus. But the rod is coming because the plywood on top, then the coating is holes all through it. Then whoever did it put a metal edge on the outer, which is holding the water, so it can't drain. There should be some pictures I sent for the deck above.
I just got the drawing in the contract. If you're rebuilding it entirely with the stringers, why not just space the stringers as needed instead of adding additional?
I would.
Okay.
That's not what shown
in the drawing.
In the drawings.
Well, no, that was the easy way, but I'll go 16 inch centers. I think but it'd still be the same number.
Okay, committee, questions for the applicant and for the staff about this?
Are there still a whole lot of plants on the balcony?
Yes.
And they get watered every day and the water drips awesome. Down. Yeah, I agree with staff that, I know that people take photos of these plants all the time, and it's very beautiful and quintessential French Quarter, but they are damaging to the building. Maybe plants that don't need water.
The original permit had all the pictures from the upper part, too. But I've brought them with me if you don't have them.
Yeah, it's great. I didn't see it from Mama, so apologize for that.
I don't think anybody objects that the decking probably needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
But we do have this sort of standard that we've established.
I also fear once you start taking off this decking with that amount of rust you've got into there, you've got some problems with your outriggers and your gallery post. You've got a lot. This is a can of worms. You've got a lot.
But we're going to have to address it.
Yeah, and that's something that the staff would be approvable at the staff
level. Hopefully, unless the...
And
for some reason, this permit comes two different codes.
Okay, well, let me ask a question for the staff. Is this something that would go to the commission for approval because of the rating of the building?
We brought it here because of the standards. That,
right, yes, okay.
You guys have set for.
Committee, please. One of the things that we always look at is, how we establish a rule and then, maintain that rule with additional information. And, the information that you've presented today doesn't necessarily give us any obvious reason to change the general practice of this committee, which is to not approve erratus decking on covered balconies. Now, it's possible that you have a hardship that you could share with the full commission if you wanted to, if you felt the need to appeal our decision to them. But right now, I don't see any architectural reason why we should change the standard that we've been enforcing for several years now relative to this material. Does the committee agree or disagree with me on that?
Yeah.
I mean, the plants are beautiful, but they're not an architectural feature.
Right.
We can't ask you to take them down, but we can ask you to take better care of the balcony, so.
So what I would like, I'm just kind of doing this as a preamble, because I think I can anticipate what our motion is going to be. Letting you know that there's an avenue to present additional information to the full commission should you disagree with our decision today. So have I asked for public comment? No. Public comment on this proposal?
Permit?
No, I'm just asking for public comment from the audience. I don't see any. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
So do we just discuss, are you Aaron? Yeah, so we just follow up with you on how to
repair
our balcony?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about it more detail.
Okay.
You can help us on another avenue.
Yeah, I think this is not, we're going to give you, I think we're going to give you a no today, but it's not necessarily, there's certainly a way to appeal that. So do I have a motion in the matter of 1015 Burgundy Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1015 Burgundy Street, I move to adopt staff's recommendation for denial.
Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion is denied. Please get with Erin after the meeting to talk with her about an avenue for appeal to the full commission and also the possibility that you have some extenuating circumstances that might be brought to the commission's attention about this decision.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't agree with you, but next item is 518 Governor Nichols. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Excellent. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 518 Governor Nichols is a green-rated building. Here's a proposal to remove an existing water feature and install a new in-ground swimming pool. Application materials received May 8th and June 23rd, 2025, respectively. An application was submitted for a new pool in the shared courtyard space back in May. Staff from the zoning department noted that the proposed pool crossed the property line and would require the two properties to be re-subdivided in order to install a pool in this location. The applicant is in the process of re-subdividing now, including having already received a positive recommendation from the Fulby Break Commission. With that re-subdivision underway, staff began reviewing more of the details of the proposed pool. The new pool will replace an existing water feature and raised planter. The pool is shown as 20 feet long by 10 feet wide, with a small corner hipped off around an existing brick planter and established tree. The pool is shown with a maximum depth of 60 inches. Clearances from each of the service aisles to the pool are shown at 70 feet, and the distance from the rear wall of the courtyard to the pool is shown at 10 feet. Details for the pool include brick coping, flush with the existing courtyard paving, and a steel-reinforced gunite shell. The applicant notes that a waterline tile is not actually chosen, but that it will be a typical light or darker blue tile. Lighting is noted as being two LED pool lights. These will be required to be white light only. Mechanical equipment for the pool is shown in the charters and ursuline corner of the building, consisting of only a typical filter. No heater or other equipment is proposed. No screening is shown around the equipment, and staff questions if screening would be beneficial in this instance. Staff finds the proposed pool generally in keeping with the guidelines and appreciates the relatively restrained pool size and adequate distances between the other existing features of the property. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Sure. Brennan Fornerup, 1812 Palmer Avenue, and I'm the owner of the property.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
No, I've been working with them fairly closely, so.
I think the main question raised in the staff report is about screening the equipment that's kind of shown off to the side. Is there a plan for that screening?
I can very easily put up whatever was recommended by the staff.
That's good.
Great.
I have one thing.
Sure.
I'm sure you guys remember this. We went round and round about the HVAC mm-hmm. at this location, crossing lot. I think we need a site plan with the HVAC on it and the pool equipment. Do you guys remember where it all went?
There's a diagram here that shows a condenser on slide 120. Maybe we can confirm that condenser is... Is that a...
We're only going to have three total units, the outdoor units. They'll be on that back wall. The property line is being dissolved since the pool does have to get in the middle. Mm-hmm. But we still have it to where the two units that are going to be on one side and then one on the other side. So it'll be the small, you know, outdoor mini split units, but there won't be three of them. They'll be along the wall on the bottom.
So you're going to show what I'm saying. It would be helpful.
Some coordination.
Can we get a survey?
With the screening.
Have it all shown together. Just to know the overall impact of all the equipment, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. We had a lot of meetings about the HVAC. Equipment, so that might be kind of helpful. Also, might let us know if something needs to be screened, or I don't know.
I'm not sure if we can screen the outdoor units just because of the proximity to the fans.
Yes, but maybe the pool. You know, I don't know what the total impact is going to be.
Okay.
Or you, or the historic nature of the property.
Yeah. Okay. is there any public comment on this proposal? I don't see any public comment. I think that, I don't see any issue with the pool, but I think the documentation requested by the staff is very reasonable, as well as the concept of screening this equipment. So if you have a motion, unless there's something else that you'd like to add to this discussion. Anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
Oh, no.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 518 Burgundy Street?
Governor Nichols,
Governor Nichols.
Yes, in the matter of 518 to 20, Governor Nichols, I move to adopt the staff's recommendation for conceptual approval with the applicant to work with staff on final details, including submission of a site plan that coordinates all equipment in this courtyard and screening.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And thanks for working with the staff. We appreciate that. 320 Decatur Street, do we have an applicant present? We do. Do we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 320 Decatur Street is a green-rated portion of the Municipal House Hotel. This is a proposal to replace and reinforce structural elements on gallery per application materials received June 2nd, 2025. This work is to correct deteriorated conditions to provide reinforcement to galleries at the orange rated, not green rated, main entrance to the hotel on Decatur Street as follows. Rusted C9s will be replaced with C9 by 20 hot dip galvanized beams. 6x6x3/8 inch angles will be bolted to the channels and existing outriggers with 3/4 inch diameter A325 bolts. 3/8x1 flat bars are shown mounted vertically as intermediate rail supports below the existing guardrail and mounted horizontally between the decorative cast iron panels. The bottoms of the decorative cast iron panels have rusted out and will be replaced with 1.5 inch square bars welded in place. Each gallery has full height rail reinforcement added at the three center verticals made from 1/2 inch square bars angled back and attached to the outriggers below. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed structural work, but notes that the most visual element is likely to be the addition of the horizontal flat bars at the vertical cast iron panels. Since this building is orange rated, staff does not object based on visual obtrusiveness.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
I'm Greg Blackman with Bob Balco. We're at 4268 O'Shea Court West, with structural steel and ornamental artwork.
Okay.
Patrick Avery with Avery Brothers, 3319 Orleans Avenue.
Thanks for coming today. I'm sure we're going to have a question for you. committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff regarding this proposal? Maybe not. This seems pretty straightforward.
It does seem pretty straightforward. Definitely needs some love.
Yeah.
I have a quick question for the committee, actually, about the horizontally mounted flat bars. Do you think that it would have a significant visual impact if those were painted out to match the wall rather than the ironwork? We've done that with some rail extensions, and they've kind of just blended in.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that getting too precious?
Let's see what we're talking about.
Horizontal or vertical?
The horizontal flat bars that kind of break those panels up and give them a little bit.
That's for lateral support. Is that what they're doing?
For the rigidity.
Yeah. Oh.
There's a couple of different ways of doing that. Did you explore any other alternative?
If y'all have got other options, if y'all have got things that y'all have seen before that work, I'm happy to look at it. It sticks out more as we're showing the new. The existing is a little dulled out, so it does pop more on the depiction. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not going to look like that when it's installed.
Right.
They blend in fairly well, but if you have other recommendations of situations that have given rigidity to those ornamental columns, I'm all ears.
I've seen secondary, square section pipes installed as kind of principal structure inside of the L.
So you just have a kind of a square tube column.
Right, but that was for historic ironwork. This is basically orange rated non-historic material. I mean, so I don't know if that is actually necessary here. What does the committee think?
I don't think it's necessary.
I just had to bring it up. Okay. So is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. Any other questions for the applicant? Anything you'd like to say before we, okay? Is there a motion in the matter of 320 Decatur Street?
Matter of 320 Decatur, I move to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Is there a
second?
Motion been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I note that the applicant has requested that we defer 1218 Burgundy Street. Could we have a motion for deferral at the applicant's request, please?
I so moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Matters deferred. Next item is 235 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure.
Sure. 235 through 37 Charters is a green-rated main building with a brown-rated rear addition. This is a proposal to install mechanical equipment, platform, and hood vent in conjunction with a change of use from retail to restaurant per application materials received June 30th, 2025. The scope of work involves extensive mechanical equipment installation at the rear of the property, which has no open space. The first floor has long been enclosed with brown-rated infrastructure. However, during the course of this review, staff discovered that additional affirmative work was completed on the rear of the building above the brown-rated rear addition, including a second-floor bathroom structure and a third-floor mechanical platform, which spans between 235-37 Charters and the separately owned 608 Bienville. It is unclear if the owner of 608 Bienville is aware that this platform, which is understructured and already holds several condensers, has been attached to their building. The applicant proposes the following work. At the second floor, a new inline fan is shown penetrating the brown-rated roof and unpermitted third-floor mechanical platform. The ducting runs along the rear elevation and extends 40 inches above the roof eave instead of being routed on the interior through the interior of the building and penetrating the main building roof. The brown-rated roof is shown holding the new kitchen hood makeup air fan. New and existing tankless gas water heaters are shown mounted to the side of 608 Bienville. On the third floor, a railing is shown at the unpermitted mechanical platform. Existing and new condensers are proposed for this platform, along with new outside air ducts and a compressor to serve the interior stair. Staff finds the work associated with the change of use to be extensive and detrimental, considering the limited exterior space of this property. A restaurant requires more exterior space for required mechanical equipment than this property can provide without relying on the use of the rear elevation and an illegal mechanical platform, which is attached to a building that is not owned by or on the same property as 235-37 Charters. No attachment details for the unpermitted platform have been provided for review, as well as structural drawings, mechanical drawings, or equipment specs. The unpermitted platform and second floor bathroom addition must be documented and submitted for retention before any reviews proceed. It is unlikely that the platform can be retained given its attachment to the neighboring property. A decorative rail, falsely giving the impression that part of this platform was once a balcony, cannot be approved. If the platform is later allowed to be retained, the rail must be a safety rail only. Staff notes that much of the work to build out the restaurant on the interior has already been done, and some of the exterior work also began without permit. Given the amount of information still needed and the significant retentions, such as the platform, that will be required before any new work can be approved and permitted, staff recommends deferral with the applicant to submit revisions and additional information as noted above. An easement and approval letter from the neighboring property owner will also be required.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Yes, John Rupley, 1700 Josephine Street, Suite 201.
Okay, do you have a presentation?
Yes. I have to find that wasn't expecting y'all's results. I would like to strike from the record mention of any interior work being done, because that's not in the purview of the UCC. I would like to say that we are getting a survey done on the 28th by Gilbert, Kelly, and Contour to determine where the property line falls and if that wall where the third floor mechanical platform, where that property line falls on that area. Also, we'd be requesting, if not, then we'd be requesting a covenant with 608 Bienville, because they're also their condensers as well. So it's being mutually beneficial partnership. I'd also like to say that you can tell by the right elevation that this is very minimally visible, and the only access to the courtyard is through a perfume shop where most everyone is spritzing themselves with perfume in the front.
Got it. Well, you know, to the extent that...
One more thing. I'd yes. like to say that I believe that going through a brown-rated ceiling or platform for the mechanical duct is... I believe is a less intrusive way than going through the main building.
And just so you guys know, I was the staff member that went out to meet with them. I requested a survey, and I told them that the building of the Bienville actually belongs to the Montalbán, so that they're going to have to get some sort of easement for that platform that has been there. This is not a courtyard. This is a light well. It is real tiny in there. And I do agree that going with this on the outside of the building instead of penetrating the roof. It's a very small restaurant. This is not going to be something huge. Very small, very intimate restaurant and bar.
Can you build it?
Oh, there I am.
Well, what I'd say relative to, you know, the interaction between interior and exterior here is, if you know, the alterations to the interior have been made already, especially without permit, and they prompt the requirement to have the exterior work done, it is interesting to this committee, even if we don't have jurisdiction over that interior work. So, and I think, would you agree that you need to gather some additional information before we can make a full decision about this? Then would you, I think we probably want to ask for a deferral of this matter. Would you agree with that as well?
Deferral or to the full commission?
What would we be asking the commission to do?
See if we can,
because I mean, it seemed by y'all's property notes that y'all weren't looking for a deferral for more information. It's more of just declining the change of use in general.
No, we need more information based on, like, what the actual equipment is and all of that. That hasn't been submitted yet. So there's a lot of details, especially with some of the attachment details and everything, that we're not comfortable recommending approval, especially because the application is dependent on work without permit that also needs to be, you need to appeal to retain in order for this to be feasible, right? You have to have that platform in order to retain it. Platform needs to be included in the application because it's never been seen by us before or approved by us before. Exactly. And I have, you know, some pretty big concerns about the attachment details to the side of the building. There's just joist hangers. There's no, you know, any kind of ledger beam or anything like that. So
it's also, keep in mind, it's attached to two buildings. So this is the BM building. Side, and then there's the charter, the other building, a charter that it's attached to. So it's sort of spanning. So there, we do need some more information.
And I think that the commission, and if it moved that far to city council, they would also recognize the fact that there's a lot of outstanding information that we need to have, they would need to have, in order to make a positive recommendation. This isn't like just, you know, something that is against our guidelines. We're dealing with potentially problematic existential mechanical equipment, structural stuff, we don't have any information on it, neither would they. So,
right. In other words, approving this would kind of confirm something that might be spanning a property line where...
On two different properties, yes.
Yeah. So,
into two different walls, yeah.
Okay, so...
But the survey of all that.
Right. Do we have any public comment on this matter? I don't see any public comment. Is there... Do you have anything you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 235 Charter Street?
Yes, the matter of 235 Charters. I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant an opportunity to address the items identified in the staff report and discussed today.
I second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Yeah, I encourage you to work with the staff just to kind of get everything in order before you come back to us.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next item is... What is the next item? I'm getting there. 525 Governor Nichols. And we do have an applicant with us, so could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 525 Governor Nichols is a green-rated main building and service building. We did propose to install air to synthetic decking at the second floor gallery and the third floor balcony. Replication materials received June 22nd, 2025. All decking on the Governor Nichols elevation of the series of townhouses is proposed for replacement with new synthetic decking. The applicant submitted detailed photographs showing that all the existing decking spans between the purlins are less than 60 inches and should not require any modification. The one optional location for relocating the purlin occurs at the third floor balcony, which currently features a 14-inch center-to-center measurement from the purlin closest to the wall to the middle purlin. The measurement from the middle purlin to the outermost purlin is 18 inches center-to-center. Staff and the applicant agree that centering this middle purlin would be logical. Regarding the use of synthetic decking in these locations, staff notes that from at least the early 1960s through the middle of the 1980s, these buildings were abandoned and had no decking was in place in any of the galleries or balconies. The current decking at the oldest dates to the middle, dates to the time of the 1980s renovation. The other conditions of the proposal and these locations are generally in keeping with the recommendations for the installation of synthetic decking, and staff finds these locations consistent with other approved locations.
Staff recommends approval of the installation, with the only question being the preferred curling treatment at the third floor bottom.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Alex DeFell, ATH Contractors, 516 Betts Place.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add in terms of a presentation or response to the staff report? Would you like to add, would you like to say something before we start asking you questions?
I think I read the staff recommendation, and it all seems to be good. The only thing is that on the third floor, the wood joist, do we move it to the center, or do we leave it as it is? We are open to your suggestion.
Great, thank you. Committee, questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No, looking at the old pictures, looks like we're lucky to have this building around at all.
Right.
Yeah. And do we have a preference for treatment of the purlins on the third floor?
I think relocating it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. Is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion before we go to a motion?
No. Is there something that I need to...
Well, let's get to the motion, and then we'll figure out what we have to do. Is there a motion in the matter of 525 Governor Nichols?
Yes, the matter of 525 Governor Nichols. I move to conceptually approve the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level, and that center purlin on the third floor balcony to be centered between the two outer purlins.
Great. Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. So if you could just work with the staff to finalize details on this, you can move forward with your vote.
Sure.
Okay. But don't start until after you get all the details finalized. Okay, yes. Thank you so much for coming
thank
in today.
So
Nick will be married. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, next item is 1017 Orleans Avenue. Do we have an applicant present? Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1015-17 Orleans is a yellow-rated main building and a green-rated rear kitchen building. This is two proposals, one to install a pool in the rear courtyard for application materials received April 23rd, 2025, and June 16, 2025, respectively, and an appeal to retain PVC plumbing installed on the exterior property without benefit of ACC review and approval for application materials received June 20th, 2025. For the first application, the applicant proposes to install a pool with an interior clearance of 8 foot by 10 foot in the rear courtyard between the rear addition and the detached dependency. The pool is between 3 foot 8 and 4 feet deep, with 9-inch thick gunite walls, stone coping, iridescent purple and teal waterline tile, and turquoise plaster. One white light is proposed, and the pavers are still shown as being permeable. The pool equipment is shown adjacent to the existing HVAC condenser. Staff requests confirmation that the equipment proposed does not require a natural gas line. If it does, the run of the line will need to be shown, as well as any exhaust vents and required clearances. The VCC design guidelines state that the VCC requires a pool or hot tub to be an in-ground installation with the curb flush with the adjacent ground level and a simple geometric form for the pool or hot tub, such as a rectangle or oval. Overall, staff does not consider the pool objectionable in theory, other than possibly the curb bump out that could be simplified to better comply with guidelines. However, staff finds the overall size of the pool to be impossibly large for safe installation adjacent to historic masonry foundations. Notably, the St. Anne inside face of the pool is shown as being only 2 feet from the front wall of the rear dependency, which also means the pool is partially tucked under the balcony. This could make balcony maintenance more difficult, in addition to coming dangerously close to the front footing of both the green-rated dependency and the courtyard masonry fence. If this pool is to be considered, it must be reduced in size to avoid jeopardizing the safety of the historic architecture. Staff recommends deferral. For the second application, when the property was sold last year, VCC staff was asked to inspect the property and determine what violations were in place so the new owner would have this information in advance. VCC staff determined that millwork replacement and PVC plumbing installation had both been completed without benefit of review and approval by a previous owner. The applicant is currently working with the millworker on a proposal to address several anachronistic doors and windows of the property. However, replacing the PVC plumbing has proven to be a more complex and costly issue due to interior conditions, and the applicant is appealing to retain the PVC temporarily based on hardship. Given that PVC plumbing is rarely found to be approvable per the guidelines and hardship must be appealed to the commission, staff recommends the committee deny the appeal to retain the PVC based on architectural merit.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Billy Gunsberg, 4618 Lake Villa Drive, swimming pool contractor.
1017 Arling, homeowner. The owner. Okay. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or a response to the staff report? Let's talk about the pool first. We'll talk about the plumbing second. Pool.
We submitted everything.
And there is, just to be clear, there is no gas heater for this. It's an all-electric heater.
Okay.
So great. We don't need that.
But we'll check that one off. What about the proximity of the pool to the foundations of the historic structure? I mean, that's a real concern.
We're open to changing the size.
Great.
We're thinking if we could shift it over a foot, would that be enough?
So if you shift it over a foot, then you have less than 3 feet from the bottom of your steps.
It's going to have to be narrower. It's just going to have to be narrower.
Just make it narrow.
Yeah.
By a foot.
Yeah, we don't know how wide the corbel footing underneath that wall is.
Right.
And you don't want to go down adjacent to that corbel footing because you might get some sliding into the hole. So these are real concerns. Because a pool unit of this size is going to cause considerable removal of fabric. Okay. Other questions?
It probably could shift in the one direction to be further away from that courtyard wall. So down at the bottom where it's showing only 2 feet, that way it could shift since you do have some extra room. But as far as the distance between the back building and the main building, that's where you just need to squeeze it in a little tighter.
We're definitely open to moving it around or making it smaller or whatever.
Perfect.
Whatever is best.
Okay. Committee, any other questions for the applicant?
I guess I'll just comment that as you're thinking about how to locate that plan north wall, the thickness of the gunite is also important. I don't know how thick that wall is. Could be 12 inches, right?
12 inches on top, 9 inches on the sides.
So that puts it even closer to the foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, have to take that into consideration when you're deciding where to put that wall.
The good thing is we are hand doing it, so there's no heavy machinery, so this will be precisionally shaped. So.
Or are there pilings
underneath
the pool, or
it just floats. Any comment about the shape of the pool?
I agree with the staff about the curve.
Just make it flat.
Yeah.
Make it simple. Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comment. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion?
Nothing other than we're open to any suggestions.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate your willingness to work with the staff and us. Is there a motion in the matter of 1017 Orleans Avenue?
Yes, in the matter of 1015 to 17 Orleans regarding the permit for the pool, I move to defer to allow the applicant to work with staff to revise the plan based on today's discussion and the staff report.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. So I think what that means is you just have to kind of get this a little bit more fine-tuned, and you can come back to us. And with their recommendation for approval, you'll be able to have your pool.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming in.
PVC plumbing.
Oh, PVC plumbing. You're not getting off that easily. So PVC plumbing.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Like Aaron said, I invited BCC to come out and look at the violations. I knew that there were a few, so I worked with the seller before. Active sale, and he took a few and I took a few, so I knew that this would be something that would have to be addressed at some point. I did get a quote for $14,000, which only includes removing it and rerunning it, but it doesn't include the complete demo to the kitchen, the cabinets, the granite, another room. So with construction in total, it's going to cost over $30,000. So it wasn't something I thought that maybe we could compromise, and I can do the four windows and the door to possibly get the pool and claim hardship on the PVC.
Could the staff point out where the PVC is?
Okay, so it's painted out, so it is harder to see, but
it's like.
Oop. So we're looking at here, and then there's a little bit that runs down.
So we're really not talking about the millwork. We're just talking about these plumbing runs.
Yeah, the millwork application is not actually in yet. So that'll be coming to the committee soon. But I just wanted to note that, you know, I've been CC'd on emails. There are quotes. There are discussions happening. That application is forthcoming. Yeah. So.
And so these plumbing runs up high, is that an occupied attic above the house?
It's a built-out attic. That's actually a bathroom that was added by the previous owner.
Hmm. Okay.
This is your residence?
Yes.
Okay, committee, what are you thinking about?
Well, I think the staff is advised that it doesn't meet the guidelines. We can't approve retention architecturally, but we can kick it to the full commission for hardship.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this? I see no public comment. Would you like to add something before we go to a motion?
We appreciate your willingness to work with us and inviting the staff over.
Yeah, and I think that the point here is that in order to approve something by hardship, it's really a matter for the commission, not for this body. We can entertain variations on the guidelines, but I don't think that's within our purview for this proposal. Is there a motion in the matter of 1017 Orleans Avenue Plumbing?
Yes, the matter of 1017 Orleans Plumbing, I move to deny per staff recommendation, noting that the applicant has an opportunity to appeal to the full commission on the basis of hardship.
Thank you. Do I have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. So you can bring this to the commission if you'd like. Does she have the opportunity to hold this until other things catch up with it, like millwork and pool?
That is something that would be up to you. I just didn't want to bring the pool to y'all with active violations on
right.
property with, you know, thinking, oh, there's issues that still need to be addressed. Why are you doing pool right now? So, you know, we've been working together to discuss, right. you know, timeline on these things, getting it all addressed. So I'm fine with holding on to it until we get further along with either the pool or the millwork, however y'all.
See, what we're trying to do is to make it so that you don't have to go up to the commission for a number of different meetings for different things.
Yeah.
That means this will just be kind of hanging out until we get a recommendation for approval of the pool and the mobile.
Okay.
That's okay with you. Okay, so we voted on that.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. You're finished.
Okay.
Thank you so much. But just keep working with the staff. They'll help you through this. Okay, we're going to move on to appeals and violations and ask if anybody's present for 522 Pirates Alley. 622 Pirates Alley.
All right, 622 Pirates Alley is a blue-rated main building in dependency.
Sorry, I got it.
This is a proposal to rebuild an uncommitted roof deck for application materials received on December 21st, 2023. And September 24th, 2024. I copied over the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Those drawings came in more recently on the, they came in at the end of June. This ongoing application proposes to modify and retain rooftop conditions which have been continuously cited since they were first observed by staff in 2011, including an unpermitted dormer with a door accessing an inappropriate roof deck. The attic apartment uses the door and roof deck as part of their second egress, which leads to the courtyard via an exterior metal stair. UCC staff recently issued permits under separate application to address long-standing demolition by neglect issues of the property, including serious structural issues at the rear metal stair and dependency roof, which were reviewed by the committee in May. At that time, the roof deck was in a state of partial collapse, and a portion of the cantilever deck was removed to allow for work of the roof below. The applicant has returned with a proposal to demolish and reconstruct the roof deck at a size smaller than what was originally cited in 2011, but larger than what currently exists due to the partial collapse and demo. It is now proposed to cantilever 4 feet towards St. Peter, bearing on a new structural wall. The roof for the infill structure below is integrated into the roof deck, with the joists extending for the cantilever, a TPO roof, and air to synthetic deck boards, as not tongue and groove, as typically approved, to allow for water to flow to the roof below. A taller 42-inch rail would replace the unpermitted 33-inch rail in sections, and others it is shown as an extension. The roof deck and egress stair are shown access through a new wood door with a single light and no muttons. Rooftop additions, the BCC requires compliance with the CTO as far as height and floor area ratios, review of all exterior items located on a roof surface, including paving, railings, and built-in furnishings. The BCC does not recommend a rooftop addition on a green, pink, or yellow-rated building, or a roof rooftop addition of a building less than 3 full stories in height. The BCC does not allow a rooftop addition on a purple or blue rated building, a rooftop addition on a building originally constructed as a residential building, a rooftop addition on a roof with a pitch greater than 3 inches vertically and 12 inches horizontally, and an existing parapet less than 18 inches in height, except at Camelback Shotgun, and a rooftop addition greater than 1 story or 12 feet in height. BCC design guidelines prohibit retention or reconstruction of this roof based on the building's blue rating alone, but it fails on several additional key points, including the building's residential use and pitched roof. The committee denied the proposal to retain and rebuild the deck on January 23rd, 2024, noting that it had been previously denied in 2012. While the deck does not meet the guidelines and was previously denied by the committee, the commission was concerned that removing the deck completely may not be safe for the attic residents in light of conditions observed at this individual property. Since a version of this roof deck has been in place for some significant time and may have a legitimate life safety purpose that could justify a hardship exemption, the commission asked that the committee consider a reduced version of the deck. On February 21st, 2024, the commission moved to defer this application for 6 months in order to allow the applicant time to return the committee with a complete proposal and engineer's report to meet all legal requirements, to coordinate with the state fire marshal and any other necessary city agencies. No report has been provided, and it is unclear if DSP or state fire marshal will find this proposal acceptable for egress purposes. Given that any allowance for this deck to be reconstructed would be based on egress needs and hardship rather than recreational use, staff does not find it necessary for the committee to approve anything larger than what would essentially be a landing for the metal stair and an HVAC platform. Decreasing the platform to align with the structural wall below rather than cantilevering another 4 feet would reduce the impact on the building below. Staff notes that the rooftop decks are typically required to be set back a minimum distance of their height, so occupants cannot venture to the edge of the building and be visible from below. Since a setback is not possible along the Cabildo Alley side, reducing the deck by 4 feet would minimize the area adjacent to that elevation. Staff once again notes that this roof deck is extremely incompliant with the guidelines, and the committee is being asked to mitigate the architectural impact before the proposal returns to the commission for consideration based on hardship. Staff will not schedule this review until the state fire marshal and DSP determine that this means egress will meet their requirements or equivalency, and that no other issues will arise, such as the need for variances.
Great, thank you so much. Would you like to state your names, addresses, and relationships to the property?
Alexandra Lawler. I'm the daughter of the owner, Lori, 243 Richmond Drive.
Okay.
Edward Jones, project manager.
Okay.
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects. Lori Lawler, address, Christmas, or
okay.
So 622 Pirates Alley. My husband's mother bought this unit in 2009. And we ended up inheriting. She transferred it over to us in August 2023. So we kind of at that point started the process of trying to make right on, you know, we invited the BCC inside the building into our unit with cameras, everything. Like from the start, we have tried to make good. We believe in this building. That young lady has been raised there on weekends. It's
great.
It's emotional.
Well,
so
we
really take pride in this. The unit's been completely renovated.
So are y'all condominium owners in the building? Is it a condominium structure for this building? Right, okay.
And just to refresh, I'm sure you guys remember
everything
about
We remember a lot of stuff about this.
Yes.
This is complicated.
We're working on all that.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. The building is tens of thousands of dollars has been going into the building since I don't want to take credit, but we've been leading a parade.
Thank you.
And we feel very strongly about the buildings and architecture. I grew up in the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas and St. Croix, very familiar with historic buildings, and I've worked in them all my life. And, you know, when this ended up in our lap, I was like, it's gone awry.
In the HOA to be able to get us to start actually making progress and everything before. Everybody was always outvoted, you know, 4-3, not to do anything. Now we have finally the votes to start getting something done.
So I got to ask a couple indelicate questions to get this going. Is the use of this floor permitted by the city? Is this an allowed use?
You mean the attic?
Yeah.
For the residential? I don't know exactly how they determine that.
Okay.
And it has been an apartment for...
Yeah,
it's an established use as far as history.
I believe it was by the state around 1990. Something it was like broken down and considered condos. Residential.
But that would have to reappear.
So I'm just going to offer a little slam dunk for you. If when the building was converted and this unit was added, if the state fire marshal reviewed that and approved this as a means of egress, that would be a big step towards your argument for retaining this as a means of egress.
I'm not sure that happened or not.
Well, I'm just giving you as a clue. I don't know who did the conversion or if it was done legally. You know, it might have been done on Saturday afternoon too. Who knows? But if you did were able to find that document, well, that would be the most certain way to establish, you know, the status of this stair and landing as something that's part of the life safety component of the building.
Yeah, we're, like Aaron pointed out, we're going to have to go to state fire marshal.
Right.
In order to get the safety permit, we're going to have to go to fire marshal. We may have to get a variance, you know, because it's fourth floor and not third, and, you know, it's not sprinkled, so we might have
but
to get a
but it's clearly a life safety issue.
Right, and right. For the owner, do you appreciate the staff's recommendation about eliminating the cantilever to make this more of a place for safety rather than a place for recreation and to remove it a little bit more from the public view? This is for ownership.
It was 15 feet out from the building.
Right.
And so now we're asking for only 10.
And but I'm
talking about the five.
My specific question is about that cantilever beyond the supporting wall, mm-hmm. which the staff recommends not be included in the approval. Because that extends it from a code-required landing to something that would be considered a rooftop deck for recreation purposes.
And that was our compromise when Aaron was out with Josh and so on. We were standing on a 10-foot area, and that was an extension beyond the 5-foot emergency egress. Is let's get rid of 5 feet, and can we work on the 5-foot extension and design it properly? Just because we didn't do this. It was purchased that way, and I'm sure you realize that. We're just trying to maintain some portion of what, and I don't know what it was, April, there was an issue that everything was going to be shut down in the building. We agreed right away, take the deck. We didn't sit there and say, we got to think about this, think our side through how this is going to affect us. It was the building, and if the building is in trouble, take the effing deck. Like, it was no question on our part. That's how we feel.
Well,
it's about the building, but of course we want some additional space. I don't want to pretend like we're, you know, altruistic on every angle, and so we aren't. We inherited it. She grew up with a 15-foot deck, and that's how we had our family gatherings and so on and so forth. So, yeah, there is another side to it. And
well,
we don't expect the 15. We would love a compromise. We'd love a compromise.
Well, I'm looking at the section on slide 254 in the conceptual section on 253. And I think that one of the main concerns that we had as we were reviewing this earlier in conjunction with the failure of the roof down below was that the way the deck was constructed, it didn't allow the building to be maintained. And what I'm seeing is that this detail, while it is pretty skinny in there, you could maintain this roof with the cantilever extension. So from a technical point of view, you know, I can see that. I think there's still objections and concerns about the recreational use of this landing, and yeah. also the alteration of the dormer or the creation of the dormer to create an egress point.
And I think that was explained in our rooftop deck guidelines, that there are these kinds of things that were included in the guidelines that are precluded from being allowable. Having said that, And I'm just thinking out loud. I know that this, as you've said, this has been in existence for a long time. There is potentially evidence that the BCC has known about this for a very long time. Would it be eligible for grandfather conditions?
It's been there since 1990.
But that's not necessarily why it would be grandfathered.
So we discovered it in 2011, and then we've continuously cited it since 2011. We were later given evidence that it has existed since at least 2000, but we did not discover it until 2011, at which point it's gone through these appeals of proposing to retain as is, which was denied in 2012, and then an appeal to retain and rebuild, which then the commission said, hey, let's talk about a compromise and reducing it because of this egress component, which I don't think the egress component really came up when it was discussed in 2012 and when it was initially denied.
Right.
So, we've been continuously citing and then also working towards, how do we actually move forward.
And that was encouraged to be handled. I don't want to, please blame elsewhere, but my mother-in-law is older, and tried to get her to handle it, tried over and over again, and we weren't able to. But I can provide dates and documentation that as soon as it was transferred, we were on it like white on rice.
Yeah.
I mean, we were get out of our way.
I don't think there's any question about your willingness to work with us on this. But I'm going to give you one other, the state fire marshal approval could be something, but when the condominium was established in this building, did it list this deck as an existing limited common element or an element that was? I mean, do you have documentation when the condominium was created?
The condo box listed as a unit, and also they're paying taxes on it. And I know that's unrelated.
So when was the condominium regime created?
I'm sorry.
When was the condominium
created? I want to say 2020, but I don't have that.
Okay,
on
so that's not going to help you at all.
I'm sorry, 1990. I'm so sorry.
The issue is, when does the BCC become aware of a situation? And if 10 years have passed that the BCC has known about a situation and has not acted on it, that is what makes it a prescribed situation. So if we didn't discover it until 2011, and we have been acting on it consistently since then that means every time we act on it, it starts to clock over again. So it hasn't been 10 years, it doesn't sound like, since the VCC has not acted on its knowledge. That being said, the reason I wanted to bring it up is that that's neither here nor there for this committee, because what we're concerned with is
architecture.
The architectural aspects of it, but that would matter when it comes to an appeal to the commission and or city council. So I think that it's important that we just sort of focus on the architecture at this point of what is appropriate to the building, what's appropriate structurally, a life safety, but not so much whether or not a 15-foot amenity is, or a 10-foot amenity. I mean, if it doesn't comply with the design guidelines for a rooftop, that's something that you guys have to work with.
Okay.
But there are also guidelines.
Right. I'm going to ask if there's any public comment, and I relatively doubt it. So I don't see any public comment. This is a difficult one, and we have a little time to talk about it. So, committee, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that it's really a fire escape. That's what we're talking about here. That's the best case for retaining any of it, is as a fire escape. We should call it a fire escape, and it should be designed like a fire escape.
Well, the first 5 feet is. I mean, that's why that's, to me, not even a question. That's what it is. If we're going to get out of the building, that's how we're getting out.
The initial 5-foot landing, which is, I believe, 12 feet wide, it is actually diamond plate steel, created of the same material that goes all the way down the stairwell. So it was designed and built all at one time.
Okay, that's starting to answer a lot of our questions then.
So really what they're asking for is just the extra 5 feet.
5 feet.
It's not extra.
It's 4 feet.
The 5-foot fire escape is pretty rigid.
Going to be a 10.
Rock
solid. We're going to have a chance to get out of there, right?
Yeah.
It
yeah.
used to be 10 more feet that was previously there. We only want 4.
Nick, can you come in on the plan that was just
yeah, I
there?
Can, I can quick.
Zooming in on this part.
Proposal.
The actual proposed plan.
There we go.
Okay. So this is it's showing four, it as four. 6 feet. So going to this line, because this wall below is there now.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's there now going up to that edge is approximately 6 feet. There's approximately 4 foot overhang. It did go all the way
so you're asking for
here.
4 feet.
Four. So, yeah. So it's basically, you know, half the span of what is, you know, in this kind of dependency, which is shown in the section. So that's where, you know, there's break, section break here. This is another 4 feet.
Structural section is better than mine. That's
a sketch. It's a great drawing.
It's structural.
Okay. Committee.
There
please.
We go. There we go.
Is this the only entry into the unit?
No, there's an interior.
Yeah, there's
okay.
an interior.
It's an interior.
Unfortunately, we don't have photos, but I have them on a phone, and it's all been gutted down to literally the wire, the water pipes, the gas plates. We took the gas
time.
Out, but
yeah.
everything like serious. Like it's like no, yeah. don't just cover up. And
is
it
there,
was down to the he did the work.
It's
quintessential attic.
There's no
apartment.
Front-facing balcony.
Eyebrow
area.
Windows.
There's no other exterior
no.
space.
No, it's
a Paris style,
it's
the
yeah.
quintessential
yeah.
attic
yeah.
Yeah.
apartment.
Yes,
fourth floor. It's very small.
It's very small. It's 471 square
yeah.
feet, and I'm gonna. And I'm sorry that we.
Yeah,
don't
you don't need to show us any photographs, honestly, because we understand.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
If you want to submit them to the staff as
okay.
part of your
okay.
hardship or part of the information, we'd be happy to look
it's
at them.
It's adorable. That's the only reason I want to show the photos.
Yeah.
It really is. Thank you, Eric.
It really is.
It's adorable. Like it's just. Yeah, it's kind of special and sacred, and yeah, it's just this
Thank
cool
you.
Little space. Yeah, and Ed and Crew did it. Yes.
Okay, Vinny.
I think we're bound by the guidelines to. That's how we treat everyone fairly, and if there are extenuating circumstances, that's what the full commission can evaluate. So, here I think we. Have to send a recommendation to the full commission that it be retained only as much as is necessary to provide fire egress. That's a fire escape.
Or to that structural line for support.
Right.
Right, which would be just, yeah,
right.
like an extra foot.
6 feet, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Is that in the form of a motion?
Sure, yeah. In the matter of 622 Pirates Alley, I move to forward to the full commission a negative recommendation for the proposal, noting that the guidelines do not permit rooftop additions or rooftop decks, but acknowledging that the commission has the opportunity to take into account hardship when evaluating this proposal.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. I think you're headed towards the commission. And I encourage you to develop your sense of hardship for why this should be retained.
Sounds like a wonderful place.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sorry.
It sounds like a wonderful place.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So can we be on the next commission agenda, or do we have to do
I don't think that's in your best interest. I think I would develop the hardship proposal and then resubmit and then go to the meeting. Because the deadline for the next meeting is already passed, so I think if you
and you might want to get your state fire marshal and other things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, the commission was requiring that, so we can't take it back to them without that information. So if there's any kind of equivalency or anything like that, you also want to be able to tell the commission that
the 5 foot
that is yeah.
Or the 6 foot.
Yeah.
Those original condo docs will have drawings that will
yes.
show
I'll
what's what.
That's
please submit everything as one package, not piecemeal. Everything
yeah.
in one.
Yeah,
it can't
I'll
be.
Yeah.
Yep.
No,
okay.
I
get
through a bunch
but
of
finding
documents.
Those condo documents would be a slam dunk for
Do
you,
we have?
Or the original.
Yeah.
Or the original state fire
okay.
marshal approval.
I don't think.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Steve.
Good,
yeah.
Good luck.
Next item is 733 Toulouse Street. Do we have an applicant present? 733 Toulouse?
733 Toulouse?
Somebody sleeping over there?
Come on up.
Come on. Come on up.
We're not. You're going to miss your turn.
And you've waited through all of this.
Yeah.
Okay, can we have the staff report, please?
Oh, very, very last.
On your very, very next to last.
733 Toulouse is a grain-rated main building in tenancy. This is an appeal to retain work without permit, including millwork, metal cap flash, and HVAC equipment, and a proposal to modify millwork, fence, and hardware for application materials received June 18th, 2024 and June 27th, 2025, respectively. The applicant submitted a revised proposal to address the numerous violations of this property. The HVAC equipment placement and platforms are not ideal, but the large platform mounted to the side of the building appears to have been approved by the VCC. No sound data has been provided for the equipment. If the auditory impact is found to be low, staff has no objection to retention of the units for their lifetimes. The raised platform in the alley with the gate beneath is poorly detailed and may need to be reconstructed. Staff will work with the applicant to determine if another location is possible. Metal cap flashing was installed on the main building and service cell by a previous owner. The applicant stated that it is functioning and they wish to retain it. Staff finds it to have been haphazardly installed and at risk of allowing water intrusion, particularly on the rear building. A diagram for camera placement has been provided, as well as manufacturer specs. Some of the placement must be adjusted, but this can be worked out at staff level. Light fixtures can largely be retained, with one or two requiring relocation. Lamping must be guidelines for color temperature, lumens, etc. This can also be handled at staff level. The proposed keypads are approvable, but are not placed appropriately. Staff will work with the applicant on relocating keypads and other hardware. Levers must be replaced with thumb latch hardware, which meets ADA requirements. Millwork modifications are largely inappropriate, but some can be retained. However, others, such as the first floor alley side transom, are not acceptable for retention. Alternatives must be proposed by the applicant. Staff recommends deferral of all millwork until staff can meet with the applicant on site to review these conditions in more detail. That's referring particularly to this transom that has the two sashes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only issue. That's just the one that's like a non-starter. An unpermitted condenser drip line previously penetrated the millwork at the side alley. It was relocated without permit to penetrate the wall instead. Staff finds this improvised modification to be poorly considered and an alternative must be proposed. Two openings on the alley side have been illegally enclosed. One is bricked up flush, which cannot be retained for the guidelines. The other is shuttered but covered in energy equipment. Staff does not find the bricked in opening approvable for retention. The applicant should propose restoration of the opening and its millwork. While the other is blocked by energy equipment, it appears that the opening still exists and is just fixed in place. Overall, staff recommends conceptual approval to temporarily retain the HVAC equipment until its end of life, conceptual approval to retain platforms, with some potentially requiring modification or reconstruction pending staff investigation and discussion with the applicant, denial of the appeal to retain the metal cap lashing both on the main and rear buildings, deferral of lights and cameras to be handled at staff level, conceptual approval of keypads with some requiring relocation and many door handles requiring replacement, deferral of millwork until a revised proposal can be submitted, as many of the current conditions are not approvable for retention. Denial of retention of the HVAC drip line. Denial of retention of the alley door removal and wall enclosure. Conceptual approval of the appeal to retain the millwork that remains in place but is blocked by energy equipment.
Wow. Okay. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Karen Betancourt, and I'm the owner of Bourbon Toulouse LLC. Which owns the property here at 733 Toulouse.
Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us or response to the staff report?
I know that we just ran through this real fast. I know I've been speaking with Aaron about this, and I just need clarification on, you know, what I'm allowed to do. It seems though a lot of this stuff is being denied. Do we have time to go through these points?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, we'll just start.
We can take them in your order.
The fencing gate. The fencing gate is. It was going so fast.
Is that can be handled at staff level. I didn't
like
put it in the report.
We have 15 minutes before we have to do the.
And we have one more agenda item.
Yep. Okay.
Maybe the fence and gate can be handled at staff. Maybe
okay, so then we'll do it at my order.
Yes.
Rather than your order.
Sure.
The millwork will be deferred. The metal cap, the mortar, the cap flashing on the parapet is what we need to talk about. What is your position on the metal cap flashing?
I did get up on the ladder, and I also got up in that area right there, which is on top of the tropical aisle. There's an access point up there. It is all the seams are all together. It's firmly placed on top of the cap. It's all been caulked around the edges as well. The metal is not rusting. It's in good shape. It was there when I purchased the property. I'm requesting that we retain it. I personally did get up there and take a look at it.
Okay, please.
I do not have any seepage or any water coming into the building.
Okay, committee. It's just a really bad job.
Yeah.
We have approved temporary retention.
We have.
Yeah.
Until the roof has to be replaced.
Until the roof or the cap flies off or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Next one would be, is there something wrong with the platform for the HVAC?
No, HVAC was permitted by BCC.
So the platform that I was, so this platform was permitted by the BCC. The equipment was not. I think that the equipment's probably fine as long as we make sure the sound levels aren't ridiculous once we go out on site until the end of life. This platform is the one that once the gate is removed and the fence is removed and the gate's reinstalled, I don't know what this platform's going to end up looking like. We should discuss this one in more detail. I think we can probably figure that out at staff level. If not, I'm happy to bring it back. I do not think that we should just allow retention as is, because I think that we can potentially, make it better, but let's see kind of what's going on with this one. This one's fine.
Maybe just aesthetically make the platform a little bit more human.
It might also, let's see.
Well, I think it has to do with
there. The
interaction with the fence and gate. That's what we're really talking about here.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like then all the other things are a matter of deferral until you make agreement with the staff about the camera, the light fixtures, the keypads, and then the plumbing thing is another denial item.
The millwork is also.
But we don't have a proposal for that, so it's a
deferral. Well, the proposal was an appeal to retain, as is, which staff does not consider to be approvable for the guidelines.
Transom windows, what we're discussing?
There's many things with the millwork that are just off. We can talk about ways to improve things and make some things better. I think it's better to negotiate that and try to figure out ways to improve it rather than me just saying straight up recommend denial of all of it.
Okay. So what I think what I'm hearing is, we have a certain latitude to make approvals or denials, based on the guidelines and staff recommendation. And it sounds like you're still kind of in a discussion with the staff about many of these items.
Okay.
What I'd like to say on behalf of the committee, please feel free to contradict me, we're inclined to support the staff and the guidelines in these matters. So simply asking for retention is not going to be something that flies with us.
Okay.
So what we'd rather have is a proposal from you, and I'm talking about a proposal, not just a request for retention, and a recommendation for approval from the staff in order to resolve all these things.
Okay.
Right now, I think that the only thing I think we can say today is we're not going to approve all this stuff. Will you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just not going to give you an approval. But I think that what you need to do is work with the staff and actually hone this down to the things that you really need to retain, the things that the staff feels comfortable recommending for approval, and then make a proposal for what you're going to do as an alternative solution.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to ask if there's any public comment on this matter. You two guys don't want to extend this any longer, so we're not going to. Okay, no public comment. I'm going to ask for a motion for deferral to allow the applicant to work with the staff to figure out what to retain and what to repair. Do we have a motion, please?
Yes, in the matter of 733 Toulouse, I move to defer to allow the applicant to work with the staff.
Okay. Thank
you.
All in favor say aye.
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 You're deferred. Please work with the staff. And when you come back, have a clear idea about what you're willing to do in order to rectify some of these violations.
Okay.
Thank you. Last item on the agenda is 823 St. Peter Street. We have an applicant present. Can we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 823 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and detached service building with a brown-rated rear addition. They propose to retain alley gate and gas lights, and so without benefit of BCC review approval. The application was received June 1st and June 22nd, so we will have a special vote. Staff issued a notice of violation for this property in March of this year for several items, several of which the applicant has agreed to remedy and our staff approval. Two items are proposed for attention that require architectural review. Staff cited installation of a new metal gate at the alleyway between this building and 827 St. Peter. The current gate replaced the metal gate, which staff suspects was installed as part of the late 1970s renovation. Historically, a wood gate was seen in this opening, which would be typical for this building age and type. The previously existing metal gate was of fairly simple design with some thin added scroll details. The new metal gate proposed for attention features vertical pickets with twists and basket detail. Additionally, the gate features metal letters attached near the top of the gate. The guidelines state that VCC requires a wall, fence, or gate to be compatible with the type and style of the main building. And the VCC requires metal fencing to be either wrought or cast iron, or an alternative to solid materials such as aluminum, typically with a matte black paint finish. Finally, the guidelines state that the VCC does not allow hollow tube welded metal fencing or gates. Although staff finds that a wood gate would be more compatible with this type and style of this building, metal gates are not atypical in these locations, and the previously existing gate was metal. In terms of the style and detail of the gate, staff has some concerns. Although the vertical bars dive directly into the very top and bottom rails of the gate, there are four intermediate horizontal bars that appear to be face applied and welded to the pickets. The guidelines note that the pickets should be solid and punch through the horizontal bars. Initially, the decorative nature of the pickets is at odds with what should be a simple and utilitarian gate. Staff questions if the decorative pickets could be replaced with simple solid square pickets. Finally, the gate hardware includes a handle with an incorporated keypad. Although staff has been recommending for blank touchscreen style hardware for keyless door hardware in recent years, staff finds this style of hardware to be very discreet and not objectionable. The keypad numbers are only really noticeable when the gate handle is viewed close up. At any distance, the numbers blend in with the actual door knob. Staff has no objection to the retention of the keypad hardware and finds that it may be an improvable option for other properties as well. The second item in need of architectural review is the proposed retention of gas lights installed without benefit of BCC review approval. Staff observed one gas light on the Dauphine side of the main building and one on the St. Peter elevation of the rear building. Both of these fixtures are visible when looking down the alleyway. Staff questions if any additional gas fixtures have been installed that are not readily visible from the street. Staff does not find either of these locations consistent with the guidelines, which recommend that decorative fixtures be located near a focal point of the building, such as the primary entrance door. The guidelines also require the decorative fixtures be compatible with the building in terms of style, type, and period of construction. Staff does not find decorative lighting particularly appropriate for the simple field cottage. In summary, staff finds the concept of a new metal alleyway gate potentially approvable, although some details of the existing gate should be modified. Has no objection to the retention of the gate keypad hardware and recommends the denial of the proposed gas light retention.
Great. I'm looking at slide 295 and I'm seeing some electric fixtures at the top of the gate. Are those?
That was the previously existing gate, and I believe those fixtures have been changed or are part of the proposal to change now.
Okay, so they're not part of what we're reviewing today. Okay, would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Sure, Matthew Savage. Address is 4512 Sheridan Avenue in Metairie.
And what is your relationship to the property?
We are the current contractor.
Okay, and you are?
Richard Norman, 1409 Pasadena.
So you installed the gate and the lights?
No, we're here. We're originally doing just painting, kind of redoing that front, and then he gave us a list of the violations and asked us to handle it. So,
is he open to changing this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the gas lanterns, if they don't, they should, we just take them off.
Oh, well, I see where this is going.
Yeah, okay. And how about the gate?
I mean, I have a price on there. I mean, obviously it needs to be changed. It's completely different from what it was before. So
yeah. We'll
have to get a new one made. So I have that on there already.
Okay.
All right. Committee, it looks like we're heading in the right direction. Any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
And just to be clear, that plaque is going away too?
Yes.
Perfect.
No, that one or the...
Oh,
a little easy,
yeah,
a little easy things coming off.
Oh,
I'm not.
Yeah.
don't know why he put that up there.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a light fixture that's coming down.
Oh, yeah, those light fixtures okay. on there, that's great. That has to go.
So we can work this out of the staff, okay?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So if we adopted the staff recommendation, you're agreeable with it to the extent that you'd have to change or modify the gate and remove the lamps. Okay. Do we have a motion in the matter of, what is this, 823 St. Peter Street?
Yes, in the matter of 823 St. Peter, noting that the applicant is amenable to adopting the staff's recommendations, we adopt the staff's recommendations.
Okay, second for that motion?
I second, sorry.
Working
about parking.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You can work with the staff on the design of the gate, and you can just take the lights off. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much for your patience.
Hope that was easy.
Well, it was easy for us.
Wait, adjourn.
Excuse me.
Adjourn. Wait, adjourn.
Okay.
Adjourn.